Let's start with the most volatile story of the morning, because these two pieces of Middle East news arrived almost simultaneously, and the contrast is striking. On one hand, the Board of Peace, the international mediation body that's been facilitating Gaza ceasefire talks, is reporting that Hamas has agreed in principle to surrender its weapons. On the other hand, Israeli jets struck the Khandab heavy water complex and a yellowcake uranium processing plant inside Iran. And Iran's nuclear chief has already announced that IAEA inspectors will be blocked from the bombed sites. So you have a potential diplomatic opening on one front and a military escalation on another happening in the same 24-hour window.
The Hamas weapons story is the more delicate one to parse, because there's a significant gap between agreeing to surrender weapons and actually doing it. The word historic is being used, and technically it is. Hamas has never before acknowledged weapons surrender as a negotiating outcome. But what does verification look like? Hamas has decentralized its arms caches significantly over the past 2 years. There's no single armory to hand over keys to. So even if the political will is genuine, the logistics of any real disarmament process would take years, not months, and would require a monitoring presence that every party to this conflict would dispute.
The Board of Peace, and for listeners who haven't followed this body closely, it emerged from the Doha-Cairo framework that was formalized in late 2025, has some credibility as a mediating structure, but it has no enforcement mechanism. What I'm watching is whether Qatar and Egypt, who have been the practical brokers, are prepared to put their own reputations on the line to guarantee compliance. That's the real signal. A statement from Hamas's political bureau chief saying they've agreed to surrender weapons is a very different thing from Qatar publicly staking its diplomatic standing on that commitment.
Now layer on top of that the Israeli strikes on Iran. The Khandab heavy water complex, previously known as the Arak reactor, had been a central piece of the 2015 JCPOA, the original Iran nuclear deal, precisely because heavy water reactors are efficient producers of plutonium. Israel hitting that site again in 2026 signals that Israeli intelligence believes Khandab has been reconstituted in some meaningful way. The yellowcake plant strike is separately significant because yellowcake, uranium oxide concentrate, is the feedstock for enrichment. You don't hit feedstock processing unless you're trying to set back a fuel cycle, not just destroy a finished weapon.
And Iran immediately responded by blocking IAEA access, which is exactly the wrong response if you want to argue you have nothing to hide. From a proliferation standpoint, losing inspector access to bombed sites is genuinely concerning. We don't get a damage assessment, we don't know what was actually there, and we can't track any material that may have been dispersed. The IAEA has been operating on severely constrained access to Iranian sites since 2021. So this is a worsening of an already degraded monitoring situation.
What I find analytically interesting is Trump's declaration of mission accomplished in Iran. His framing is that the military phase is over and we're entering an economic pressure campaign. That's a significant claim. The mission accomplished phrase carries its own historical baggage dating back to 2003, and it's a high-risk framing when the situation is this fluid. If Iran conducts any retaliatory strike, or if its proxies do, that declaration becomes an immediate liability. The administration is betting that economic strangulation plus the threat of resumed strikes is sufficient deterrence. Whether that's correct depends heavily on whether the Iranian leadership is in a position to make a rational cost-benefit calculation right now, which is genuinely uncertain given the internal pressures they are facing.
The other thing worth flagging is how these two stories interact. If Hamas's weapons surrender moves forward, even partially, even symbolically, it changes the calculus for Hezbollah and potentially for Iran's posture toward the broader regional conflict. Iran's support for Hamas was always partly ideological and partly about maintaining a deterrent network. If that network is voluntarily standing down in Gaza, Iran loses one of its primary justifications for the proxy strategy it's maintained for decades. That's a strategic shift worth watching closely over the coming weeks.